human joint motion data capture and fusion based on wearable sensors. Welcome to Journal Club. I'm Malcolm Dix. Let's say you want to track the motion of a person's joints. Maybe it's for rehab, maybe it's for ergonomics, maybe it's for a VR avatar. Either way, the gold standard is what's called optical motion capture. Think Vicon or OptiTrack. Multi-camera systems, reflective markers, controlled lighting. Expensive rooms with thousands of dollars in hardware just to get a clean read on a knee bend. These systems work, for sure. They're precise, but they're also overkill for most practical scenarios. And not even remotely portable. You can't strap a motion capture rig to someone and send them home. That's why people keep trying to make wearable sensors work. Inertial measurement units, or IMUs, are cheap, lightweight, and unobtrusive. A microelectromechanical, that's MEMS-based sensor that combines a gyroscope, accelerometer, and magnetometer costs just a few bucks. Stick one to each limb, and in theory, you can reconstruct the body's posture in 3D. No cameras, no markers, just raw sensor data fused together to generate joint angles and segment orientations. It's the ideal solution for remote monitoring and real-time tracking, that is, if you can make the data reliable. But that's the catch. It isn't reliable. IMUs drift. Their measurements are noisy, they don't stay calibrated, and even a small amount of magnetic interference can throw off the heading by several degrees. Trying to fuse data from multiple sensors in real time across moving joints only makes things worse. Synchronization issues creep in, sampling rates vary, and if your fusion algorithm isn't robust, those errors accumulate fast. Over a 30-second trial, a limb that's supposed to be still might appear to rotate by 10 degrees. Multiply that by 6 sensors, and you end up with data that doesn't seem to mean much at all. Today's paper tackles that specific problem. In it, the authors attempt to build a complete pipeline from sensor calibration to multi-joint kinematic modeling to data fusion that produces high-fidelity joint motion estimates from cheap, off-the-shelf IMUs. To make this possible, they make some very specific design choices. They model joint motion using a rigid body chain rooted at the pelvis. They represent orientation with quaternions, which we'll get into later, and they use a modified version of the MAGIC algorithm to fuse accelerometer, gyroscope, and magnetometer data in real time. Their goal isn't to outperform optical systems, it's to close the gap enough that wearable systems become somewhat viable, even in uncontrolled environments. Let's see what they built and how they built it. In motion capture, forward kinematics, that's the process of computing limb positions from joint angles, is often used to animate a model once joint angles are known. But in this paper, forward kinematics isn't just for visualization, it's part of the sensing pipeline itself. Specifically, the authors use a root-driven kinematic chain model to enforce joint consistency and eliminate spurious readings. The pelvis is treated as the root node, and every other joint, the spine, shoulders, elbows, knees, ankles, is part of a dependent hierarchy. The reason this matters is that inertial sensors placed at each joint can drift independently. So without a constrained model, it's easy to end up with estimates that are anatomically implausible, like a knee rotating outside of its biological range, or an elbow moving without corresponding shoulder input. So instead of treating each joint independently, the authors enforce a directional dependency structure. Each parent joint determines the motion bounds of its children, and that hierarchy is hard-coded into the system. They divide the body into 5 motion branches. 1 branch for the torso, 2 branches for the arms, 2 branches for the legs. All 5 chains start at the pelvis. Within each chain, the relative rotation and translation of every segment is tracked, and motion is propagated down the tree from the root to the leaves. So when the torso rotates, for example, the position of the shoulder updates accordingly, which then informs the expected orientation of the elbow, and so on. This allows the system to catch and reject inconsistencies early, before they compound into downstream error. One important nuance here is that this is not inverse kinematics, not at all. They're not solving for joint angles from the final pose. They're taking raw quaternions from each IMU, applying the calibration and filtering, and then using forward propagation to assemble a coherent pose that respects joint limits and mechanical dependencies. Each transformation is encoded as a matrix, and multiple transformations are chained to propagate global orientation and position information down the limb structure. Side note, you might have just said, what on earth is a quaternion? Good question. A quaternion is a four-element number system that's one scalar and three imaginary components that's used to represent 3D rotations in a way that avoids the pitfalls of other methods. So, unlike Euler angles, quaternions don't suffer from gimbal lock, and unlike rotation matrices, they're more compact and numerically stable. In this paper, quaternions are used to represent the orientation of each sensor on the body. After calibration and filtering, each IMU outputs a quaternion that encodes the orientation of the corresponding limb segment. These quaternions are then combined hierarchically, using forward kinematics to compute the global pose of the full body, joint by joint, in real time. The quaternion representation is what makes the entire pipeline both accurate and computationally efficient. Anyway, this model enables the system to implement range constraints at each joint. For example, the hip is allowed internal rotation up to 50 degrees and flexion up to 140, while the elbow is limited to a maximum of 150 degrees of flexion. These limits aren't inferred, they're hard-coded. By checking each fused quaternion against these constraints during the pre-processing step, the system avoids accumulating invalid states, which in turn improves stability in the final trajectory estimates. The hardware stack used is based on off-the-shelf MEMS inertial sensors, specifically the MPU9250. It includes a 3-axis accelerometer, 3-axis gyroscope, and 3-axis magnetometer, giving each sensor node 9 total degrees of freedom. These IMUs are affixed directly to the upper arms, the forearms, the thighs, the calves, the torso, and the head. The authors don't rely on visual markers or external reference points. Every data point comes from what the body-mounted IMUs can detect locally. Each unit is mounted on the body such that its coordinate frame aligns with a predefined body-centered reference system. That part matters because it constrains how the data is interpreted downstream. The axes are fixed relative to the limb segment, with the Z-axis oriented to the right of the body, the Y-axis vertical, and the X-axis forward. Sensor orientation consistency is enforced at the hardware layer. The capture system includes 5 total components: the sensor module, a processing controller, a wireless transmission unit, a program debugging interface, and power delivery. The IMU captures and locally preprocesses the raw data. From there, it's sent to the controller, which performs batching and basic filtering before passing it to the fusion algorithm. Data transmission is handled through the wireless module. No onboard fusion is performed at the sensor level at all. All integration and calibration happens downstream, after raw values are passed through the architecture's processing pipeline. There's no use of edge inference or local machine learning at all. The entire approach prioritizes raw physical measurement and classical filtering over learned representations. So, how do they process all the data then? Well, it arrives at a central processing module, basically a microcontroller, that receives time-synchronized streams from each IMU over the wireless link. This is where all the calibration routines run: temperature compensation, drift correction, and bias removal for the accelerometer, gyroscope, and magnetometer signals. Once the raw data is cleaned, it gets passed through a MADRIC filter for sensor fusion. This produces a quaternion for each joint. Those quaternions are then fed into the forward kinematics engine, which assembles a full body pose in real time, while enforcing biomechanical constraints and correcting for any accumulated inconsistencies in joint alignment. So, what's a MADRIC filter? Broadly speaking, it's an estimation algorithm that uses gradient descent to fuse data from all 3 sensors in real time. Compared to alternatives like the extended Kalman filter or complementary filter, the MADRIC algorithm has lower computational complexity and is easier to implement on embedded hardware without sacrificing too much accuracy. Instead of relying on matrix math or probabilistic models to combine sensor readings, this algorithm defines an error function between the expected and measured sensor values and then minimizes that error using gradient descent. It starts with a current estimate of orientation, predicts what the accelerometer and magnetometer reading should look like in that orientation, then compares those predictions to the actual readings. The gradient of that error is computed and used to nudge the orientation estimate toward a better fit. This adjustment is blended with the gyroscope-derived orientation using a weighting factor. The main advantage here is that gyroscope data provides short-term smoothness, while the accelerometer and magnetometer act as long-term stabilizers. The gyroscope integration gives you high responsiveness during fast movement, and the accelerometer-magnetometer correction ensures that you don't drift into nonsense after a few seconds. The result is a continuously updated quaternion that reflects the sensor's real-world orientation with good short-term fidelity and long-term stability. Compared to EKF, which models the system dynamics and measurement noise using covariance matrices, MADRIC's method is simpler and more predictable. It doesn't need a state transition model or noise estimation. You don't have to tune half a dozen covariances just to get reasonable results. That makes it practical for wearables when you don't have the compute budget to run a full state estimator, and you may not have consistent data distributions to calibrate against. The entire system loops at runtime. On each tick, sensor data is collected, calibrated, fused, and passed through the kinematic chain. The output is a set of joint orientations that can be visualized, analyzed, or piped into a simulation environment. Importantly, the authors report that the system is computationally lightweight enough to run in real time without offloading to external servers or requiring GPU acceleration. This, I think, is the key contribution here. They're not proposing a new deep learning model. They're not relying on motion capture cameras. They're building a fully self-contained pipeline where cheap sensors, when processed correctly, are enough to produce accurate, biomechanically valid reconstructions of joint motion. You could argue that this might be suitable for rehabilitation, physical training, or even VR avatar control. This paper isn't theory, it's a working pipeline, a product, and it performs better than most of the established baseline systems when deployed in the field, not the lab. But what if you're not working in motion capture? Is there anything you can learn from this paper? Yes, I think so. Broadly speaking, this paper is a reminder that sometimes the right move isn't to add complexity. It's to inject structure, as in constraints and models, things that can make a downstream estimation problem tractable, even when your upstream data is noisy. If you want to see exactly how the authors structured the quaternion pipeline or how they integrated calibration into the MADRIC filter loop, I'd highly recommend downloading the paper. They include the full model equations, system architecture diagrams, and comparative error tables across multiple filters and baselines. It's a good reference if you're building anything that involves real-time posed estimation on embedded hardware, or if you're just trying to debug noisy IMU output and need a more structured approach to filtering and fusion. Thank you for joining me on today's episode of Journal Club. Hope you enjoyed it. Malcolm Digg signing off. See you tomorrow.